Two men from the States came along and bought them, harness and all, for a song. The men addressed each other as Hal and Charles. Charles was a middle-aged, lightish-colored man with weak and watery eyes and a mustache that twisted fiercely and vigorously up, giving the lie to the limply drooping lip it concealed. Hal was a youngster of 19 or 20, with a big Colt's revolver and a hunting knife strapped about him on a belt that fairly bristled with cartridges. This belt was the most salient thing about him. It advertised his callowness, a callowness sheer and unutterable. Both men were manifestly out of place, and why such as they should adventure the North is part of the mystery of things that passes understanding. Buck heard the chaffering, saw the money pass between the man and the government agent, and knew that the Scotch half-breed and the mail train drivers were passing out of his life on the heels of Perrault and Francois and the others who had gone before. When driven with his mates to the new owner's camp, Buck saw a slipshod and slovenly affair. Tent half-stretched, dishes unwashed, everything in disorder. Also, he saw a woman. Mercedes, the men called her. She was Charles's wife and Hal's sister. A nice family party. Buck watched them apprehensively as they proceeded to take down the tent and load the sled. There was a great deal of effort about their manner, but no business-like method. The tent was rolled into an awkward bundle 3 times as large as it should have been. The tin dishes were packed away, unwashed. Mercedes continually fluttered in the way of her men and kept up an unbroken chattering of remonstrance and advice. When they put a clothes sack on the front of the sled, she suggested it should go in the back. When they had it put in the back and covered it over with a couple of other bundles, she discovered overlooked articles which should abide nowhere else but in that very sack, and then they unloaded again. 3 men from a neighboring tent came out and looked on, grinning and winking at one another.
"You've got a right smart load as it is," said one of them. "And it's not me should tell you your business, but I wouldn't tote that tent along if I was you."
"Undreamed of," cried Mercedes, throwing up her hands in dainty dismay. "However in the world could I manage without a tent?"
"It's springtime, and you won't get any more cold weather," the man replied.
She shook her head decidedly, and Charles and Hal put the last odds and ends on top the mountainous load.
"Think it'll ride?" one of the men asked.
"Why shouldn't it?"
Charles demanded rather shortly.
"Oh, that's all right, that's all right," the man hastened meekly to say. "I was just wondering, that's all. It seemed a mite top-heavy."
Charles turned his back and drew the lashings down as well as he could, which was not in the least well.
"And of course the dogs can hike along all day with that contraption behind them," affirmed a second of the men.
"Certainly," said Hal with freezing politeness, taking hold of the jeep.